الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the program Repentance. In this program, we try to define repentance for you, and also we try to understand how important repentance is for our iman, for our faith, and what actually is meant by the term repentance. The different conditions of repentance which ulama have mentioned in their books, what are they, so that we can gain a better understanding of repentance and eventually repent accordingly and duly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have our faith perfect. Today, inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be talking about the importance of repenting straight away, immediately, quickly, not delaying our repentance, and also how important it is for us to repent. And also towards the end of our episode, inshallah azza wa jal, we'll also listen to a faith enlightening account regarding an immodest woman who repented, and under what circumstances did she repent, so that we can also gain a better mindset in yearning to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, as usual, let us first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations, reciting salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Dear viewers, we all want to attain the intercession of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. We all yearn for it. We all wish for it. And the fortunate ones will be who will attain the intercession of the Holy Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam himself has stated that whoever recites salat upon me 10 times during the day and 10 times during the night, he will attain my intercession on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, when we are talking about repenting and repenting quickly, one of the most fundamental aspects in all this is to hold our nafs accountable, carry out accountability of our nafs. We should reflect upon our actions, and we should quickly repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst imploring and shedding tears, because death is certain and hidden, and this world is a deception. Now, if you just think about Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is infallible, meaning that he cannot sin. Anbiya ikram alayhimus salam, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot commit sin. They are free from sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them safe from sin. So we need to have this in our minds, keep this concept clear in our minds, that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are free from sin. They are infallible, meaning they do not have the tendency of committing sin. They cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All they do is obey Allah Almighty. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was sent down to this earth, he wept in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 200 years. Then just imagine that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, despite being a prophet, despite being infallible, despite being saved from sins, despite being someone who cannot commit sin, still wept for 200 years in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then just imagine for yourself that a person who commits sins openly, how much he would need to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautifully someone has said that the one who repents is fearful in regards to himself. So what do you think that what should be the state of the one who does not repent? As the one who is repenting, he is embarrassed over his sins. He is repenting. He is on the path of being forgiven. He is very fearful in regards to himself. But then just imagine a person who commits sins, doesn't repent. What would be the state of that very individual? How much of a need he would have to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you repented, for example, and then you broke your repentance, you broke your oath over the repentance that you had made and went towards sins again, then repent again straight away. Say to yourself that it is possible that this time around, after repenting, I may pass away before committing the sin again. So develop this mindset. Don't be let down after breaking your oath of repentance. After you've repented, you've committed the sin again. Don't be let down. Don't think that, you know, I'm not firm upon my repentance, so what's the point of repenting? Never think this. Don't think that, what's the point of repenting now when I'll be going back to the sin again? As it is quite possible that once you've repented this time around, then before you commit the sin again next time, you may pass away before that. So in this case, you will be passing away in the state of repenting, in the state of repentance. So adopt the same approach the second time you commit the sin again, third time, fourth time, in fact, every single time you commit a sin, then repent straight away and make this your habit and your routine. Do not be hopeless in the matter of repenting over your sins, lest Satan stops you from repenting because of this. Undoubtedly, repenting abundantly is a sign of goodness, is a sign of blessing. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that every such person amongst you is better who repents abundantly upon committing sins. So in this beautiful hadith, we've been told that who is best amongst people? Who is better amongst people? The one who repents abundantly upon committing sins. He is better amongst people. So we should also strive to become better amongst people. And in the light of this hadith, what have we found out? That those who repent abundantly upon committing sins, they are deemed as better people amongst people. So we should also strive to attain this honor, attain this privilege. Always remember that whenever we are talking about repenting in the court of Allah Almighty, repent over your sins, a person should repent over his sins, every single time you need to keep the definition of repentance in your mind, where the element of remorse is there, where the element of having firm intention of not committing that sin again is involved. All these definitions we've already covered in our previous episodes. So whenever we're talking about repenting over our sins, this definition also needs to be kept in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in verse 710 of Surah An-Nisa, meaning that, and whosoever commits an evil deed and wrongs his soul, then seeks forgiveness from Allah, will find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. What a beautiful glad tiding we have in this blessed verse. And in the commentary of this verse, it is stated that few things have been mentioned in this verse. First, he who commits an evil deed or wrongs his soul and then seeks repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes sincere repentance fulfilling all its requirements, all its conditions, then he will find Allah Almighty to be most forgiving, most merciful. So again, we go back to the same point where we started our today's discussion from, that once someone committed a sin, then if he repents in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meeting all the conditions, all the requirements, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. Allah Almighty is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And second thing that we learn from this verse is that the one who commits a sin, only he will be punished for it. It wouldn't be a case that someone else commits a sin and another person gets burdened with his sin. This is not the case. This doesn't happen. A person who commits a sin, only he will be held accountable for this. And look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in this case, a person who's committing a sin, he is the one who's facing all the consequences of it. He is the one who's getting the burden of that sin. He is the one who's facing the repercussions of that very sin, not anyone else. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a person repents, when a person performs a pious deed, that then not only does he get rewarded for it, but other people in his surroundings also get benefit from it. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The curse of sin will not be upon other people, it will only be on the very individual himself. But once someone repents, performs a pious deed, even other people who are acquainted to him, who are his acquaintances, even they also benefit from it. Let's listen to a faith refreshing account in this regard and enlighten, refresh of a faith. In this account, Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he mentions this account. He says that it was famous regarding an immodest woman, regarding an indecent woman, that one third of the beauty of this world was given to her. And the way her beauty had reached its climax, same was the state of her immodesty, of her indecency. It is stated that unless she wouldn't take 100 dinars from other person, she wouldn't let anyone come close to her. So people, they were willing to pay 100 dinars to commit this act of indecency with her because of her beauty, because of how pretty she was. And 100 dinars, viewers of Madani Channel, this was a substantial amount of money. So this is how beautiful she was, this is how pretty she was, and people would go to the extent of paying 100 dinar, a very, very huge amount of money, to fulfill their desires of committing indecency with that woman. Now, what happened once was that a very pious person, his sight fell upon this indecent woman, this indecent, pretty woman, and he fell in love with her. He fell in love with her, and he made a firm intention that I will definitely, ma'azallah, commit indecency with this woman. But when he found out that she doesn't let anyone close to her unless someone pays her 100 dinars, then to earn this much money, he started to work day and night. He worked really, really hard, and he eventually ended up 100 dinars just to fulfill this evil intention of his. Now, having these 100 dinars, he goes to the woman and he says that, "Oh, beautiful woman, I fell in love with you the first time I saw you. Just to attain your proximity, I've worked day and night. I've worked really hard, and now I've earned 100 dinars, and I've brought these 100 dinars to you." Listening to this, that immodest, indecent woman, she said that, "Okay, come inside." When that pious person, he entered the room, then that beautiful woman, that pretty woman, she was sitting on a golden throne. And she said to the pious man that, "Come to me, come close to me and fulfill your desire." Now the pious person sat by her on the throne. And when both of them, the indecent woman and this pious person, and both of them, they were about to carry out the indecent act, right at that very moment, the past acts of worship of that pious person, of that worshipper, they came useful that for that person. And what happened was that that very pious person remembered the day when he will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what happened was that as soon as this thought struck his mind, all of a sudden, his body started to shiver. And this element of fear, what it did was that it led to the end of that feeling of lust that he had developed within himself. And now he was embarrassed over this ill intention of his. What he does is that he says to the woman that, "Leave me, let me go, keep these 100 dinars with you, keep this money with you, and let me just go. I repent from this sin." Now, that woman, she was very surprised, she was astonished. And she said that, "What's wrong with you?" Listening to this, that pious person, that worshipper, he replied that I am fearing my Lord Almighty. I am fearing Allah Almighty, and it is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is keeping me away from approaching you further. That is keeping me away from coming close to you further. And that day, the fear of that day has overcome me when I will present myself, when I will be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I end up committing the sin, then tomorrow on the day of judgment, when I will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would I face my Lord Almighty? How would I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How would I face the displeasure and anger of Allah Almighty? How would I face the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hence, now my heart is averted from this. My heart is detested to this sin. And please, now just let me go from here. Listening to what the worshipper said, that indecent woman, she was taken by surprise. She was astonished, and she said that if you are truthful in your conversation, whatever you have said, if you are truthful in this, then I also make a firm intention that no one besides you can become my husband, and you are the only one whom I will marry. The pious person, the worshipper, he said that, let me go from here. I'm feeling very, very uncomfortable over here. Just let me go. And the woman said that if you marry me, then I'll let you go. And the pious person, the worshipper, he said that until and unless you don't let me go from here, until and unless you don't let me go from here, until and unless I don't leave from here, I cannot get ready for this marriage proposal. I cannot say yes, I cannot agree to this marriage proposal. So that woman, she said that, okay, that's fine. For the time being, go from here, but I will come to you, and you are the only one whom I will marry. And after this, that pious person, he covered his face, and out of embarrassment, he left her house, and he left towards his city. Now what happens is that this indecent woman who has now repented, she is not indecent anymore. Why? Because her repentance had met the criterion, the requirements of repentance. She was embarrassed over her act, and she had made a firm intention of not going towards that sin anymore. Now, that woman, what happens to her is that whatever that worshipper has said to her, it carried an impact on her heart. It had affected her heart deeply. And she had repented from all her previous sins. And what she does now is that she leaves her city and she goes towards the city of that pious person, of that worshipper. And asking other people, she eventually reached the house of the pious person. And people, they went to the pious person, to the worshipper, and they said that such and such woman has come to meet you. Now, as soon as the pious person, the worshipper, he came outside and he looked at that woman, all of a sudden, he let out a loud scream and he fell on the ground and his soul left his body. That woman, she went towards the pious person and found him to be passed away. Now, she inquired the other people, she asked from the other people that, is there any close relative of this pious person? And they said that, yes, he has one brother, but he is very, very poor. Listening to this, this woman said that, I wanted to marry this pious person, this worshipper, but now he's passed away from this world. And now, out of his devotion, out of his love, I will marry his brother. So that woman, she married the brother of that pious person, and it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this couple with 7 children, 7 sons, and all of them, they became the acclaimed awliya of their time. This is the rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the children of this woman and the brother of that pious person who left the act of indecency out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, what do we learn from this account? If we analyze this account closely, we see that a person fell prey to the love of the beauty of a woman. And eventually what happened is that he repents from it. It was his pious deeds that came in the way and made him realize that if I end up committing this indecent act, then on the day of judgment, how would I face the wrath of Allah Almighty? He repented from it. But the same point where we started from earlier, before we started this account, that the repentance of this pious person not only benefited him, that he was kept away from this indecent act, but this indecent woman as well, she also repented from her previous sins. She came on the right path as well. Now this pious person, he himself passed away, and this woman, she marries his brother, and then Allah Almighty blessed them with 7 children, and all of them become acclaimed awliya of their time. All this happened by the virtue of the repentance of that pious person. This is the blessings of repentance, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Earlier, the verse that we mentioned, we came to know that the sin of the person is only upon that person. Other people in his surroundings, they're not affected by the sin of that person in terms of being accountable for it. But look at the mercy of Allah Almighty, that repentance of a pious person led to the repentance of an indecent woman. Not only that, she marries his brother and they gave birth to 7 children, and Allah Almighty blessed all of them with the rank of wilaya, with the rank of sainthood. This is what repentance is, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that it not only adorns our dunya, but our afterlife as well. And other acquaintances of others, our close relatives of others, they also benefit from our piety, from our repentance, from our other noble acts as well. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who undoubtedly is the most merciful, is the most forgiving. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, then why not repent wholeheartedly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to repent wholeheartedly in His court. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to make firm intention to abandon sins for once and all. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم